All right, so I'm standing in front of the offices of the Port of Indiana Mount Vernon. I'm here with the port director, Phil Wilsbacher, and he's about to take me on a tour, so let's go. All right, so as we're driving out to the different sites, could you just kind of explain to us before we get there, just briefly, like an elevator pitch, if you were meeting someone at a cocktail party, how would you explain your job in this place?
The Port of Indiana Mount Vernon came into existence in 1976. What started in 76 has now grown into Mount Vernon being ranked as the sixth largest inland river port district in the United States. In my position as port director, my primary responsibility is development of the port, and that can be broken out into maintaining and developing the infrastructure that we have that provides access to the three modes of barge, rail, and truck, as well as working with the industry that's located here to market their business, look for ways for them to grow, as well as trying to attract new industry to the port.
All right, so we're just driving along the river right now, and there are a lot of barges in the water, and then there's a barge, or a few it looks like, right along the river, right up next to us.
Within the port, there's infrastructure that's owned by Ports of Indiana, which would be considered public infrastructure since we're a public port. And you also see private investment that's been made by companies who have leased property from Ports of Indiana have constructed their facility. You're seeing the combination of waterfront infrastructure that's owned by Ports of Indiana and by companies that have constructed facilities here. As we look down the river, what we're seeing is a barge of soybean meal that's being loaded, a barge of wheat being loaded, and then further up there's, I think, a coal barge that's being loaded as well. The barges that you see tied up opposite of the port, that's in a fleeting area. Those barges are being stored until they will be loaded or unloaded.
All right, and so you've mentioned soybean, wheat, and coal. What other commodities make their way through this port?
We have other products, minerals, fertilizer, cement. You get into talc. We do some steel, dried distillers, grain, ethanol. Those are primary commodities coming through the port.
So what's this noise right here?
We're driving by Consolidated Terminal Logistic Corporation's terminal. They transload ethanol either from a pipeline or rail cars into barge. And today they're doing some dried distillers grain out of rail cars into a barge. The sound that you're hearing is the unloading of the rail cars. There's actually a vibration sound that we heard. That's an attachment that is put on to the side of a rail car that vibrates the car that shakes the product loose out of the rail car that flows out of the bottom.
And then it sounds like, is that a conveyor belt that product is going down, or what's above us?
Yes. We're pulling up onto another one of the port's pieces of infrastructure. This is our pier number 3. It's a public pier. What you're seeing happening here is a barge of salt being unloaded. This barge is being transloaded directly into a conveyor that goes into dry storage, as well as there are trucks coming to pick this up. So this salt is actually going to be used in an industrial purpose in the production of aluminum. They have a customer that they will blend salt with some potash fertilizer, and that mix is used in an aluminum production plant down in the southeast U.S.
And can you give us a sense of how many commodities come through the port on a yearly basis?
In 2018, companies located here at the port handled 9.6 million tons of product through the port. There were 4,400 loaded barges, 58,000 rail cars, and about 200,000 trucks that were needed to handle that amount of tonnage through the port.
What makes Mount Vernon a good location to have access to these three different modes of transportation?
We're in a huge agricultural area, crop production, coal production. Really, you break the port down into kind of three industry sectors, the ag, the energy, and the manufacturing. It has very good access, you know, being on the Ohio River, which is common with port facilities, but the access to the rail and to the highway and interstate system is critical as well. The success of a port doesn't just depend on solely access to the river. You got to have great access to rail, great access to the highway and interstates. As a whole, when you take into account all the companies within the port, they are shipping or receiving product to or from 44 different states and 20 different countries.
And so you've described the massive scale at which the logistics industry just occurs here. Are there any worries that you have about the future of the industry or any potential roadblocks that you can see as of now?
As you look at our inland river system, challenges we face as a nation there is the current maintenance and state of the condition of our lock and dam system. It's critical that funding is there from the federal government to continue to maintain our locks and dams, because if there's a failure at one point or one lock and dam, it affects the entire system, not just that area of the river. As you look at the Ohio River, I mentioned that there were 20 locks and dams. Those were constructed over decades. The earliest were in the late 1920s. And in fact, just last year, the two oldest locks and dams right upriver from the Mississippi are now being replaced by a new lock and dam called the Olmsted Lock and Dam. And that lock and dam was opened and commissioned late last summer. So that's replacing two of the oldest locks and dams on the Ohio River. That's great news. That needed to be done. You get into other locks that were constructed in the 50s, 60s, so they do have some age to them, but as with anything, it has to be maintained, and as it ages, it takes more capital to keep it in good operating condition.
I guess I never really think about like all the different moving parts that are in place to get whatever product I buy at the store to that store.
It's fascinating to me. It may not be fascinating to everyone, but to be involved in the logistics industry and in the port industry, is people who are not involved in logistics, when you have a discussion and you start making the points that you were just making, to think about going to the grocery store and thinking how that chicken breast, that package of chicken breasts, got into the refrigerated section of that grocery store. Well, it involved feeding that chicken, and it took logistics and transportation to get that corn to market, to get it moved to the feed mill where it was ground into feed. It took logistics to get it from the feed mill to the poultry house where that chicken was being raised. It took logistics to get that chicken to a processing plant where it was processed ready to be put onto the grocery shelf. That's just one example. You can do clothing, apparel, you can do, you know, oil. It was once said, there was a speaker I heard make the comment that without logistics, there is no commerce. All of us come from different backgrounds. You being working for WNIN as a reporter, I sit here as a port director. You know, we have different jobs, we have different backgrounds, but one thing we do have in common is we are totally dependent on logistics, if you know it or not. For our, you know, the heat, electricity we have in our house, the gasoline we have in our car, are the food, clothing. It takes logistics to get it to the market.
I think that's a great note to end on. Thank you very much, Phil Wilsbacher, Port Director of the Port of Indiana, Mount Vernon. Thank you.
Thank you, Isaiah. Take care.